Okay, so here we are, and another thing, continuing my blathering on about what I think about this political situation we're in, and it's just, I apologize for my scattered thoughts. I wanted to address this on air and not in an article. As you can see, I'm kind of struggling myself. I don't have all the answers. The only answers that I do think I have is that we have to, as a group, come together and figure this whole thing out. So that said, I asked a question on Facebook and I said, please send me your questions. So I did get, Sean sent me a private message, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I will kind of go over what he's saying. And he said that he was a lifelong Democrat from a family entrenched in Democratic politics in Western Pennsylvania. And he said that it seems to him that Democrats and Clinton missed the mark, and that this election was about the economy. And actually, he goes on to say that, she didn't address those enough. And he says instead she fell into this name game with Trump as to who's the worst person to be president. Well, to a degree, I agree with that. But she also did talk about policy. If you watched any of her on the stump speeches, she was always covering how she was going to help people. Like, Sean brings up about Trump came to Western Pennsylvania and Ohio and said he bring back steel and coal jobs, and it resonated to a lot of people. Fact, those jobs are not coming back. He says, even if we increase steel production by 75%, it's not bringing back but a few jobs. So she did cover some of these things. I heard her. I didn't watch every speech of hers. And when I watched every single, the three debates between the two of them, while she certainly did bring up the deplorable things that he said, and she pointed out that somebody like him couldn't have the nuclear codes because he's so crazy with, he can easily be baited with a tweet. She was absolutely right about that. I think she ran her campaign very well, considering who she was running against. I mean, this was unprecedented. We've never seen a candidate like this before, ever. I would have preferred that she talked about fracking. I would have preferred that she talked about trade. I would have preferred that she talked about some of these things. But overall, she did cover a lot of the things that people were worried about. It's just that Hillary Clinton has admitted that she's not the best person on the campaign trail. Her strength was in doing the work. And I think a problem with our culture is that we look at how things appear. What are the optics? Well, she's not the greatest speaker, and she doesn't look sincere, and then that's what they base their decision on her on. I'm not saying that if you didn't like Hillary Clinton that you're wrong. I'm just saying that I think that people judged her very harshly, and there were so many variables that were into play. I mean, there was legitimate concerns, yes, and I do think that the DNC missed the mark. I think that we should have paid attention more to what people in these red states or in Michigan or in Pennsylvania and Ohio, what they were saying, what they were responding to, more importantly. And we had a pretty good clue in the primaries, because even though Hillary won the primary, Donald Trump was just this train that took swept. And that was a big, loud and clear message that I don't think Democrats really took seriously, or maybe not seriously enough, because it wasn't emphasized enough. That said, I'm not so much dissing Hillary Clinton, because it's easy to go back and say, oh, well, they should have done this and they should have done that. Well, yeah, the Russians shouldn't have gotten involved with this election, and the FBI shouldn't have put out this story a week before the election, knowing that it was going to hurt. And it did. So, and plus, she's gotten almost 2 million. I think the last count I saw was over a million, maybe 1.7. I don't know the exact number, more votes than he did. So I don't think that what she did was a failure. The failure is how the electoral system is failing us. And I know that some people are curious. And again, this is not my expertise, so I'm going to just only touch on this, but the electoral, I hope that there's still an opportunity that we can overturn, or not overturn, but, you know, I hope the electors can decide state by state to say, well, she won the popular vote and cast their vote for her. Is that going to happen? I don't know. I would like for someone to lead the charge on this, but I haven't heard of anybody doing that. That doesn't mean somebody isn't. But I would like to see that happen. I don't think it's going to. I think we're going to have to deal with President Trump. But that said, I do think that moving forward, Democrats have to get involved in local elections, not just in the primary. I mean, I'm sorry, not just in the midterms and in the general, but there's an election every year and it's for your local and state. Get involved. Pay attention. Even if you're not trying to become, you know, whether it's a state level senator, you know, you can get involved, like I said earlier, in the school boards or, you know, city councils. Just let, you know, you could just attend them and raise your hand and bring things up and ask questions. Just be a part of it. So that's one thing. And then let's see. I saw a couple other questions here that I was going to address. Joyce asks, Kimberly, I want an educated opinion on why 60 million voted for Trump. 51 were women. They elected a man that can say that they were grabbing women by the genitals. Can we still not accept a woman to run the country? I think that sexism played a huge role in what happened to Hillary Clinton. But I also believe that perhaps another woman who would have run, let's say we had Elizabeth Warren run. I'm not going to guarantee that she would have won. I think she might have had a little bit of an easier time because she hasn't been in politics for 30 years. She hasn't been smeared for 30 years. She would have definitely faced sexism. And the question as to, you know, the 50% of the 51% of women, you know, there's this whole thing about the white educated women or white women who voted for Trump. Why did they do that? Well, I can tell you, I can't tell you the mindsets of all these women out there. Evidently, talking about abortion isn't enough to motivate them. Evidently, talking about feminism and the Equal Rights Amendment, that's not enough to move them. There are three women that I know personally who voted for Trump. I know two of them were college educated. One of them used to be an actress. And the two that were college educated that I know, they were... One of them is a friend from high school who I don't really talk to these people anymore, like on the phone or in person. Our communication was only on Facebook, and it's pretty much just liking pictures here and there. But, you know, I had a history with them. I had a past. And I knew they were going to vote for Trump, and I didn't say anything. But then the day after the election, I was mortified, and I felt sick like so many people did, and I sent them Facebook messages, and I said, did you vote for Trump? And they both answered me in the exact same way. They said, yes, are you going to defriend me? And my reply to them was, you know, I don't know how to be your friend. This is not about you voting for a Republican, because if you would have voted for Romney or McCain, I may not have understood it or liked it, but I would have never wanted to stop being your friend. This is different. I don't know what happened. The one friend that I was talking to said, you know, I said, I don't know how you could think it's okay to vote for somebody who's so openly racist and bigoted and sexist, and how, you know, he admitted to being a sexual predator and all this stuff. And all she had to say back to me, and this girl lives in South Carolina, she said, she's a liar. And I couldn't even argue anymore. I said, well, I don't know how to be your friend. And then she responded with bye. And you know, this conversation just keeps haunting me, because it's not that I wish I could be friends with her. I don't regret anything that happened, but she was kind of abrupt, and we used to be pretty good friends. You know, we used to go out in LA, and we would go to these crazy Hollywood parties with, I used to call them like the B-level celebrities and producers. There was one A-level I went to with her, or I didn't go with her, but that's a whole nother story. But anyway, most of them were like the B level. But we would go to these parties like in the Hollywood Hills, and they were at private residences that would have valet parking and these incredible spreads of food. And they were just like awesome. They were awesome Hollywood, Los Angeles type industry parties. And we used to go to these things and have the best time. And, you know, I mean, of course, you know, eventually she got married. She moved from Los Angeles back to South Carolina. And that's where her roots are. So she's definitely a Southern Belle. Her whole thing was bye. Like, she just figured, well, fuck you, Kimberly. And I understand that she doesn't like what I had to say, but can I say why she voted for Trump? I think it's because she bought into all the bullshit about Hillary Clinton. And I think that maybe she's got some inherent racism that she's not even aware of. If you were to ask her if she was racist, she would say no. But I would guess that she probably is a little bit, and you know, just doesn't even get it. And the same could be said for my high school friend. I never would have pegged her as someone who would have voted for Trump. And in fact, when I was in high school with her, my first boyfriend was like a punk rocker, but he was actually called a death rocker at the time, which was like goth. And, you know, he was crazy looking. He was a little bit overweight. He had crazy hair. He wore ridiculous outfits. And I went to a school that was in a suburb of Torrance, California, by the beach. So these, you know, the kids that I went to school with were surfers, and they were, or they were jocks. And this guy that I went out with came from a town that was about 40 miles away, and he was one of those suburban punks. And I just loved him because he was tall and smart, and I was a young girl, and he was intelligent and very well spoken, and he was against the establishment, and I just thought that was so cool. And so anyway, one day he was over at my house, and I guess he was in my bedroom, and my girlfriend, I'm not going to say any names here, but she came over and she saw him. And, you know, he had, like I said, I mean, the guy was not attractive. He looked crazy, and she looked at him and she was so repulsed. Like, she just, it was all over her face. She was so sickened by him. And, you know, I guess at the time I didn't think about it, but I remember that look on her face now. After knowing she voted for Trump, he was half Mexican, half American. He had darker skin. And I just think that she looked at him with his crazy clothes, and he wasn't white, and she just thought he was gross, and she didn't have an open mind. So, you know, Trump comes along and he says, I'm going to fix everything. And, you know, people thought that he was some great businessman and that he was going to shake up Washington. And talk about lying. They bought it hook, line, and sinker. Why? Because people in this country aren't informed. Because people are still racist. Because people, I don't understand why racism is still here, but it's still here. And it's never gone away. So why did all these white women vote for Trump? Because, I don't know, they don't get it yet. And I will say feminists and Democrats have not been successful in reaching out to them and convincing them to vote for Democrats. You know, I mean, I know that single women helped Obama win, but even the white women were voting for Romney in 2012. So that's going to be something that I'm going to try to work on as a feminist and as somebody who is pushing for women's rights, because I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. How can we win these women? I think the way we win these women, though, just off the cuff, is talking to the people who want jobs, and they want to know that their future's going to be secure and they're going to be able to send their kids to college. Those are the issues that we have to focus on. Basically, a lot of the issues that Bernie talked about in his campaign and that Donald Trump talked about, even though Donald Trump was full of shit, he was talking about the issues that people want to hear. So aside from, you know, name calling and calling Hillary Clinton nasty, you know, he was able to fool them. And I think the Democrats basically need to take a cue from him, but then actually follow up. And then the last question I'm going to take is from Judy. And she says she nearly feels sorry for Ivanka Trump. that she's trying to get along with her father, but he doesn't deserve her attention. And then she asks for my thoughts. Well, I don't feel sorry for Ivanka Trump. Really? I guess maybe in the bigger picture I do, because she's just lost in her family and she's kind of like a Trump robot. But I find her to be a fascinating character. I think she's dangerous because she's privileged, and she, I don't think she's really all that concerned about the things that she pretends to be concerned about and the things that she talked about in the, at the Republican National Convention. You know, she was talking about women's issues and pregnancy leave, but in her own company, it turns out that, you know, women who worked for her weren't getting what she was saying she thinks women deserve. So she just provided a bunch of lip service. But I do think she's going to be in the scene for a while. And I think she's fascinating. And I don't know exactly what part she's going to play. I don't necessarily feel sorry for her. But I think that she's a person that maybe the left can utilize or reach out to and see, you know, for instance, I had Kamala Lopez on my show the last time, and Kamala is under the impression that maybe we can reach out to her and try to get her to talk about the Equal Rights Amendment. Do I think she will? Probably not, but you never know. So I think she's a character out there who's worth investigating, and I'd like to see what part she's going to play. She says she just wants to play, you know, the role of daughter, but we'll see what actually happens when it happens. So that's it. That's it. That's the last question I'm going to take. Thank you for asking. There's so many questions that I just didn't have the time to get to. As you see, I'm rambling on. I do apologize if I seem to be rambling. I'm doing my best like everybody else. Hang in there. I'm going to be posting alerts. I'm going to be organizing my thoughts so that the next time that I, you know, do a podcast on my own or write something, it will be a little more organized, and I won't be so scattered. But, you know, try to stay strong. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. Enjoy your family. Pay attention. Be proactive. And understand and always remember that we have a lot of Democratic leaders out there that are going to fight for us. So let's start rallying behind them, especially the ones, like Bob said, who are going to stand up to Trump. And that's it. Thanks for listening. And if you want to stop by and check out my Patreon page, become a subscriber, and enjoy your Thanksgiving.